Hey guys, welcome to Time with Tracy, and this is your girl Tracy, as usual, every Tuesday at 5:30 on UMFM 101.5, and we are back at it again this week. Thank you so much, and let's get into it. Before I get into what I'm going to talk about today, I definitely have to talk about the strike once again, where we see that the university is putting onto the table the same offers, and it's still very disturbing. It makes us as students angry. It makes the professors, you know, angry, because they are trying to show that they are serious, but it looks like the university is not taking them serious. And we are now going into the third week of the strike, which obviously it affects us as students, it affects graduates, and even though still we still know that this is not the AMFA's fault, because we know that the university has to look at it from their direction. It has to give them what they deserve. And as a student supporting AMFA, we will not get tired of standing with them, being with them. And, you know, we just tell every student, you might not be obviously going every day to the rallies or, you know, heading out to the pickets, but you can always post more, give more information to people, give more information to students, support in any way that you can, because we should all be on the side of the people that we get this amazing knowledge that we always receive from. Or honestly, they deserve what they're asking for, because they have been through it, they have catered for us throughout COVID, they have done their total best. So I will honestly continue saying that, you know, I'm supporting AMFA through and through. Aside from that, I hope you guys had an amazing week. For those who are from reading week, because I know some courses are still continuing, I hope you're okay. For those who are working, I hope work was going good. It's now snowing, and we knew it was going to snow eventually, so it's definitely here. Hopefully we can get through it and we can be able to see the light. This week we are going to be talking about dissociative identity disorder, also known as DID, and in the past, or sometimes it's called multiple personality disorder. One thing I would say is that this DID is not as common as depression, or it's still common, it's still gotten, that's why it's still a disorder. But yes, you won't find it as often as you'll find maybe PTSD or depression, but it's still something that we need to discuss, because sometimes, as I keep on emphasizing this, knowing the signs are important. Knowing about this information is important, because you can never know when someone is going to end up developing a disorder, or you might read about this, or you might hear about this, and all the symptoms might look familiar. Or it's always good to know more, just like any other disease. Like, if you had to think about it, when COVID first hit, you know, everyone was trying to get to know what is it about, where do we get it, how can we treat it, how can we get better. That's the same way we need to look at mental health disorders, because it's the only way we shall be able to educate ourselves and be able to help any other person that is going through them. Or even if it's like a loved one, or friends, or anyone. So, dissociative identity disorder is basically described as the like in the definition that I gave, the multiple personality disorder, it is thought to be a complex psychological condition that is likely caused by very many factors that we are going to talk about. It could be severe trauma during early childhood and so on and so forth that I'll mention. So it's a severe form of dissociation or a mental process which produces a lack of connection in a person's thoughts, memories, feelings, actions, or sense of identity. So basically, always, the one thing that we have as humans, just to give you a quick outline or a quick insight, is that when something bad happens to us, when we face trauma, or when we face something that's, let's say, scary in our lives, there are ways that our body decides to protect us from the trauma, or to help us as if heal or distract us from the trauma. So the whole point of dissociative identity disorder is because the body is trying to stop a person from connecting with their thoughts, like maybe about the trauma, or they are trying to forget it and they are pushing it into their subconscious. But in this process, it ends up forming different disorders. So that's the whole point of the word dissociative. It's like dissociating from what has happened because you want to control. Before I get into that, the most recognized symptom of this disorder is a person's identity being involuntarily split between at least two distinct identities. I would tell people to actually watch the show. No, sorry, it's a movie called Glass. So it kind of gives the split identities. And just so you, it doesn't mean that, just to clarify, talking about split identities doesn't mean that, you know, I'll be like, oh, I'm Tracy, I love cake, I love this, I love that. And then I will just, me myself, I'll decide, oh, okay, now I'm called Becky and I, you know, I'm a baseball player. No, it's not supposed to be something that you do by yourself. It's supposed to be involuntarily done by the conscious or the subconscious brain. So next thing I want to talk about is who is at risk for DID. Research indicates that the cause of DID is likely a psychological response, as we've talked about, to the interpersonal and environmental stresses. So this could be a trauma, for example, if a person, or it could be if a person is kidnapped and they are tortured. It could be so many different things, but it has to be something that is affecting them consciously. So I guess you're wondering, how can I recognize? Because sometimes you might be talking to someone and you might not recognize the signs. First of all, as you said, it's characterized by split identities. If you're seeing someone and they're saying, you know, they like something, all of a sudden they are very sure that they do not like something, or they are very different. Usually it's very easy to see a difference in personality. Yeah, you might not see the difference if you have just met the person 1 hour, or like you've just met the person right there and then. That's why, you see, it's important for us to know these signs, because sometimes some of these symptoms are best recognized by people that are close to us, and that's the best way that we can get help. So it's also one of the ways you can recognize is if a person is not able to recall key personal information that is too far reaching to be explained, and it can't be explained as just mere forgetfulness, or if they have highly distinct memory variations which continuously fluctuate, or maybe they might have different, sometimes actually in the different identities and the different personalities, you might find that the two different people that we are talking about, the two different identities, might have, one might be male, another is female, or you might find that one is a senior, one is a youth, or some people, they might feel like they are teenagers. Sometimes it could be a difference in race. So these are things to watch out for. Most times you'll find that each of them has their own postures, or they have their own gestures. Actually, sometimes you might find that some of them are speaking different languages too. Like if a person is in a different identity at that moment, maybe they are identifying as a French speaking person, and in that time they don't even know English. They only know French, or if they know it, it's like as if they know you know, 20% out of 100. Then when they switch to a different identity, they might not know French at all. So these are the kinds of signs that we can see. As each personality reveals itself and controls the individual's behaviors and thoughts, this is what is called switching. So switching can take between seconds, it can take minutes, it can take days, and all these different types. Sometimes you might find that a person's personality might switch after months, or let's say after weeks, and it will be different. Or sometimes you might be talking to someone and their personality change, their switching could happen in between minutes. Sometimes also this could be triggered by maybe a stressful thought or something stressful happening, and they just end up switching. So this can happen at any time. Other symptoms are headache, amnesia, time loss and trances, and out of body experiences. For example, if someone is telling you a story and they continuously have missing gaps. It's also important to note that these dissociated states are not fully matured personalities, but they rather represent like disjointed sense of identity, you know, because they come with identity confusion, they come with derealization, depersonalization, they come with amnesia. So it's not like a full-on blown identity, but it's like a small part of everything. So you might be wondering, how are they diagnosed? Making the diagnosis takes time, because you have to really be with them, or you have to know them enough for you to know that there's something different about them. So sometimes we see that there are individuals who have spent 7 years in the mental health system before they are accurately diagnosed. And also with the fact that sometimes dissociative disorders also coexist, because I always mention this, that so many mental health disorders coexist with other disorders like depression, anxiety, PTSD, and so much more. So the things that they use to diagnose is from the DSM-5, which is what most doctors use to diagnose, and we see whether there are two or more distinct identities. Is amnesia occurring? Is the person must be distressed by the disorder and having trouble functioning? Because obviously, if you're in a different identity that doesn't know the job that you'd work, then it makes it harder for you to do anything. Then the symptoms do not have to be due to like substance or blackouts or alcohol intoxication. They have to be happening just by themselves. So it's very important, you know, to know what kind of psychiatric illnesses might occur with DID. As we've mentioned, you know, mood swings, they do have suicidal tendencies, there could be sleep disorders, anxiety attacks, alcohol and drug abuse, compulsions, and all these things, they can occur together. So next thing we are going to talk about is, how is DID treated? According to research and to studies, currently there is no formal evidence-based guidelines to treat DID, but most times, and the sad part also is that there is no cure for DID, but the long-term treatment can be helpful because it helps the person get back to their lives. It helps them, you know, try to live a life whereby they can accommodate for themselves and all this stuff. So one of them is we have psychotherapy, and this is also called talk therapy. This therapy is designed to work through whatever triggers or whatever triggered the DID in the first place. Like I said, like sometimes people's symptoms or sometimes the switching could be happening weeks, but then it starts to happen over minutes or seconds if they're in a stressful situation. So the only way they can know what situation this is or what's causing this, or to get a clear vision, is through, you know, talk therapy. And the goal is to help fuse the separate personality traits into one consolidated personality that can control the triggers, because we want the different identities to see each other as one. So sometimes this therapy, and most times actually, it will include family members, because You know, I always mention this, that family members are an important part of treatment when it comes to mental health disorders, because sometimes they are hard to navigate alone and they are hard to go through alone. And it is always so much better if a person has support on their side, because sometimes it might get overwhelming, or with the different switches in personality, it might be hard to keep up with, like, with maybe medication if they're taking medication, or to keep up with their safety if maybe one of their identities is dangerous compared to the other. So always having family members or a support crew is always very crucial. One other way is hypnotherapy or hypnosis. This is used in conjunction with the psychotherapy, and clinical hypnosis can be used to help access the repressed memories. It can also be used to control some of the problematic behaviors which accompany DID, as well as help integrate the personalities into one personality. So as I've been talking about this, I have been saying that sometimes when it comes to DID, there's a lot of amnesia, because one identity might do something, and after they are done and switching happens, the identity that has come in next won't be able to remember what the first identity was doing, or where they were going, or what are their likes, what are their names, what do they want, or what do they do. But using clinical hypnosis, this is possible, because they can be able to retrieve the repressed memories and be able to kind of force an interaction between the two or more identities, or even if it's like step by step. Like, for example, if a person has 7 identities and they can use it to maybe start joining the different identities one step at a time. Another one is adjunctive therapy. Therapies such as art or movement therapy have shown to help people connect with parts of their mind that they have shut off to cope with trauma. As I said in the beginning, most times some mental health disorders, mostly when it comes to like multiple personality disorder, it's due to trauma and like the brain trying to process this trauma. So this therapy can help us get in touch with how we are, with our fight and flight response, basically. So unfortunately, obviously, even though there is no established medication treatment dissociative identity disorder, you know, having these approaches, these different psychological approaches, helps. And as I said, sometimes, sadly, it is possible for DID to occur with the different disorders like depression. And if a person is diagnosed, a doctor or a mentor can be able to realize whether the person has any other disorders, and they can get medication for them so that it can make treatment so much easier for them and for their family members. So you might be wondering, some of them sound familiar, but when should I see a doctor? If you can identify with any of the following that I'm going to talk about, it's really important that you should see a doctor or a mental health professional. So if you are aware, or if you know that others observe that you involuntarily and unwillingly have two or more personalities or identities that have a distinctly different way of relating to you and to the world around you. Or if you experience beyond ordinary forgetfulness, like extensive gaps in your memory for the important information, skills, and events. So, which means, obviously, as we've talked about, how some identities might forget personal information while others might not. So if you're experiencing such, it's always good to take note and see, how is it normal forgetfulness? Is it forgetfulness that is a bit worrying? It's always important to note that. If your symptoms aren't caused by a medical condition, or if they aren't caused from alcohol or drugs, for example, it could be if you haven't taken some drugs that usually alter our state of mind a lot, are like LSDs. So if you haven't taken that kind of stuff, or if you are not so drunk to that extent and the symptoms are not because of that, for example, if you realize that you're always sober when it happens, that's a big sign. Also, your symptoms are causing you problems or stress in important areas, such as work or personal life, or taking away your... So always just to see and get help. You guys always know that I will always give you some heads up on how to help a friend, or if you are living with someone with any of the mental health disorders that I always talk about, because that's the whole point. You know, that's the whole point of this talk show. We are trying to see how we can be supportive of anyone who is having any type of mental health disorder. It might be common, it might be rare, it might be average, but still it has very big impacts on anyone's life who has a mental health disorder. So in this last segment, we're going to be talking about living with DID, or living with a person who might have it. So living with DID is basically, it can be isolating, because there's so much that goes on with a person's brain between the switches, and it's very hard for them to keep up not only with their lives but keeping up with your life as well. So we are going to try to put ourselves in their shoes, thinking about how they might feel with the different experiences, or what can happen to them. Because if you imagine and you're trying to remember different, you know, you're trying to remember what happened or events, but you have no idea how to remember them, you have no one to help you, you know, catch up with your memory. And this is where a person who is supporting or living with you who is having DID can come in to help. So that's why it's very important. The first step is to stay calm during switches. In many cases, switches between the different identities can happen very, you know, very quietly or very subtly, but sometimes it can be very dramatic. For example, if the two identities are very different from each other, or if the two identities have very big differences. For example, if one identity is male, one identity is female, and it can be disorienting, because if one moment you're talking to your friend and in the next moment your friend is a very entirely different body, but they are still looking the same. While it might be stressful, obviously, it might be surprising, it might be hard for you also yourself to figure out like what to say, or what should I say, just try to keep calm and remain level-headed. Because as confusing as it might be witnessing, it's even much more harder for the person that's experiencing it. So try to stay calm. If you know maybe that one identity likes a different topic from the other, this could be a good way to kind of flow in and try to help out. That's why it's always important for us to know more about such disorders, or any disorders in general. Learn how to recognize and avoid the triggers. For people with DID, most times these personality shifts are brought on by triggers or external stuff that can kind of cause them to switch between their identities. For example, I'll give an example of if a person's DID is caused by trauma from let's say childhood, or trauma from sexual abuse. Maybe watching a TV show or a movie that is entirely around sexual abuse might be too triggering for them. So that's also one thing that you might notice and try to keep out of their sight or of their reach, so that they don't have to go through all the switching. Also, individuals with this condition may be triggered by anything that elicits strong emotional response. For example, it could be smells, sound, touch, or times of the year, or large groups of people. For example, maybe if what they went through was in a closed place in darkness, so which means if you put them in a room with darkness, it's going to cause that shift or that trigger change. So it's important, so it's important to always know these triggers so that we can be able to avoid them, because they are highly individual and they are dramatic depending on that specific trauma. Because I kept on mentioning, you know, some of the examples of the trauma that a person could go through. So someone could be, you know, triggered by kidnapping, while someone else could be triggered by sexual abuse, while someone else could be triggered by the seasons or by an object in itself. So it's important for us to know. So it's your job, you as a person, you as a friend, a family member, and you know, a person who's supporting, to find out what these triggers are in order for you to avoid them. Another one is take care of yourself too. being close to someone DID can be emotionally exhausting. It can be emotionally taxing. It can be very difficult, obviously, to keep track of the triggers depending on how much of a variety there could be. And also, these people could have intensely traumatic experiences because of what they have been through. So the best way you can serve your friend is to make sure that you yourself, as you help them, you are also attending or, you know, taking care of your mental well-being. So yes, I could give an example of you might be taking care of someone with DID and they are going for therapy and all these things. But it's also not bad for you to go for therapy because it will help you maybe understand it more, help you understand the disorder more, or help you, because you might not be able to explain to the person with DID how overwhelming their switches could be, but you'll be able to explain to a mental health professional or a counselor who'll be able to, you know, give you some ways in which to keep calm, in which to keep level-headed. So it's always important to do that. Then talking to your friend about treatment. You know, as we've talked about how you might see some signs about, you might see some signs that are connecting to DID and you feel like maybe your friend should, you know, take some time and speak to a doctor. So those are the next tips you're going to have. Number one is choose a time when you are both free and relaxed in a low stress environment, because obviously too much stress might end up triggering them to actually have a switch. So choose a relaxed time. Let them know that you care for them. Let them know that you're there for them and that you're going to support them through the treatment, through whatever they have to go. Offer to help look for providers. For example, if you talk to a person and they are, you know, willing to talk to a mental health professional, you can always say that you look for them together, you'll send them some suggestions and they will look through over them, and if you'll be able to accompany them, which is my next point, to their first appointment. Going to seek for help for a disorder that may is usually new to you and sometimes difficult to understand can be scary. It can be very overwhelming, and sometimes you find that maybe someone won't make it to their first appointment. But just knowing that you are there for them, you are outside waiting for them, you are outside waiting with a coffee for them from their first appointment is more than enough. So it's always important, take care of yourself, but always, you know, these are tips that are going to help us with everything going on. And also one thing to remember, that it's not all, rehab is not always bad. Sometimes these disorders that we talk about might be hard to face by ourselves or by us as family members, and sometimes taking our family members to rehab is a good choice. And that's why it's always important to talk to a mental health professional, because even if you can't make the decision, even if you feel like you're not knowledgeable enough to make the decision, though, you'll be able to talk to someone who will be able to help you, and you can be able to make the decision together. So aside from all this, I really hope I've been able to, you know, talk about this disorder. I know there's a lot more specifics, but as we said, we only have 30 minutes and I try to give you the best that I can. And always, guys, if you know, listen to something they're talking about, or listen to somewhere else, or, you know, hear it from somewhere else, you can always extensively read about it, because you might want to find out more. And also, one thing that I want people to remember is, always a bad thing to ask questions. You might not be sure about it, but you might notice some of your family members and you might feel like, yeah, I'm not a professional to decide what it is. And yes, that's true, but you're talking to a counselor, you're talking to a mental health professional, and you explain to them, oh, I wanted to bring my friend, I wanted to help my friend get some help, but I'm not sure how to do it. It's really not that bad. And for a person who has DID and you're listening to this right now, I want you to know that we are with you. We may not fully understand the situation, but we are supporting you. We've got your back throughout everything. So that was me for Tuesday. Thank you guys for tuning in and spending your time with Tracy today. Thank you. I love you guys and have an amazing week.